too. Who would have thought that when it was invented, the internet would put newspapers out of business, or at least damage their business model massively, and who would think to start a paper without paper? Good morning and welcome to Talk of Alaska. I'm Steve Heimel. It's now called the Alaska Dispatch News, and the proprietors are here to answer questions I'm certain you will have. Phone number, statewide toll-free, 1-800-478-8255-478-TALK. It's a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org. Alice Rogoff, Tony Hopfinger, in the studio and live on Talk of Alaska statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. And by First National Bank Alaska, who believes that success isn't simply having an idea, it is knowing the right lender to help bring it to life. More at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Well, we've done whole shows on the subject of when do you become an Alaskan. I know my wife and I, when we drove across the border, she knew I was an Alaskan within an hour. And that seems to be the case with Alice Rogoff as well, who's now the, I guess you'd call her the owner and the publisher of the Alaska Dispatch News. Welcome to the program, Alice.
Thanks for having me.
So why don't you tell me why in the world how you came to have this love affair with Alaska, which everybody knows about now.
Well, I have to credit it, honestly, with my first visit here, which by sheer wonderful dumb luck was in the hands of a wonderful pilot who's no longer with us by the name of Terry Smith, and his wife named, of course, Terry Smith, spelled differently. And they introduced me to the state well beyond Anchorage, and that gave me a very different sense of the state than the average tourist ever gets, let alone on their first visit.
Did you come in through Northway and like that, or did you come up along the coast?
I flew into International Airport with my children. This was a trip I'd been waiting to do my whole life. And when we arrived at International, we were met by the pilots who said, oh, come across the road. And over we went to the Lake Hood side and climbed into a Grumman Goose and never walked out of airport property so much as into the city of Anchorage. We took off from Lake Hood in the water and spent our first night in Alaska in Seldovia. Well, and on it went.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a, what year was that?
That was 2001.
Wow. And you had, did you know right away?
You know, it's funny. I knew I was getting captivated by the moment, but I think the moment that I remember thinking I knew I would be back was after, I don't know, day four or five, we were visiting briefly in the village of Hughes up near the Koyukuk. And I remember after we took off, the thought as we were circling over the village one more time, my thought was, gee, I wonder if I could somehow come back and figure out how to get more well-priced and useful stuff into village stores, because this seems to me to be a problem.
I think it's still a problem.
Yeah, I do too. So that's when I began to realize I was already invested in my brain in how I could come back and play a useful role in a place that had gotten under my skin pretty clearly.
Well, you've got your own airplane, and are you glad to have the office out of the hangar now?
Truthfully, no. And not just for the convenience, but as you'll hear from Tony in a minute, it was invested with a different spirit because we grew it from nothing in an airplane hangar.
Yeah.
And that's something we don't want to lose, that spirit.
You're going to have a little, what do we call it, Alaska Dispatch, Alaska Dispatch News Museum in there?
No, we're actually in the process of selling the hangar, sadly, because there's a shortage of hangar space in Anchorage, and there's a good market for it. But we're going to wind up moving out of the former ADN building and into something that we can make feel more like us again, us meaning the old hangar living folks.
Wow. Yeah. Tony Hoffinger, you seem to be holding up fairly well here. How's it going? I mean, you're into what? This is day three?
Virtually.
Day three of changing the masthead of the newspaper, which had to be really, I mean, just stepping, going right off of the high diving board.
It was, yeah. It feels kind of like the end of a 10-week run here. We merged both websites into one, still kind of working out the kinks on that. And then, yes, of course, rebranding the entire company. And at the same time, trying to, you know, work together and build a new team.
Yeah. And that's obviously not over yet.
No, I mean, sir, the fun part comes now where you get to shape the coverage, build out, you know, we've been talking about opening bureaus and expanding our footprint across the state. So that's sort of the fun part. This other part has been systems and web stuff and all those kind of things that are kind of behind the scenes.
That's a really interesting perspective. But this is the, when you look back on it, this time that you just have finished with, you know, you were exploring completely new ground. I mean, nobody even, you look back on that and say, well, this worked and this didn't, so forth.
Oh, you mean the entire history of Dispatch itself?
And Dispatch, especially since acquiring the Daily News.
Yeah. I mean,
because I remember very much when you came in here and said, with the last time you were in here, I think, and said, really with some relief, he says, we've kindly realized that there are advantages to having it come out on a piece of paper.
Yeah. I mean, I started Dispatch with the idea that, I mean, I didn't have a printing press and I didn't have a bunch of money to pay for printing the news. And I saw an opportunity to fill a gap there. But you realize the reach of the newspaper still, and especially in Alaska, that a lot of people depend on the paper. And so it's definitely been a mind shift, but the Anchorage Daily News is what brought me to Alaska in the first place, so it's all kind of gone full circle for me.
Well, I reckon it has. Well, I have to say, I don't know what the identity is of the product yet.
In terms of?
Well, I mean, some of that's intentional because there's no editorial anymore.
Mm-mm.
And that appears to be, you guys are pretty firm
very,
about
very,
that.
Very, very thought out. Conclusion for now.
Dispatch didn't have an editorial.
Well, I know that. But there was attitude and opinion all over the place.
Which I think still carries through with the paper.
I hope less and less, I will say.
Attitude at least.
Attitude, yes.
Mm.
Opinion is important as it's labeled opinion. And we, I don't need to speak for Tony. We try bend over backwards to keep opinion and news separate.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, you would want to. But there's a feel of philosophy of emphasis. As to where do you put your...
Absolutely.
You know, what's the banner? What goes in the top fold? And the decision was made right from the very beginning of the acquisition that top fold that the front page is going to be Alaska stuff, which is like kind of groundbreaking, I would say.
You mean just putting all local news on the front page?
On the front page.
Yeah, right. We did that day one.
Yeah, day one. And then, but it's not always the biggest Alaska story is on the top fold. I mean, sometimes it's some kind of animal story.
Sometimes, yeah.
But that's a part of Alaska. Sometimes Alaskans are thinking about animals as much as they are about oil taxes.
I also think that there's a sense that we break stories throughout the day. We have stories going up on the website throughout the day. And then some of those stories, you know, if it goes up at, say, 10 in the morning, the next day, would you put that at the top of your paper, even if it was a pretty important story the day before? You want to keep the paper kind of moving forward because people are also reading online and getting the paper.
That's so interesting because then you're almost becoming, because that's the way we've always thought in the radio news business. You know, we're always, well, what's new?
Right.
That's why we call it news.
Well, you always had the advantage of being able to connect with your audience throughout the day, throughout the night, the newspaper didn't. And Dispatch started online only. So, I mean, that's all we knew for the last 5 years is sort of like probably more similar to radio in some ways.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a real newspaper question. Whichever one of you wants to answer it, answer it, but it's important. So far, nobody's messed with the comics. When does that happen?
I have no plans. I've seen many an editor fall on their own sword with that one. So we're leaving the comics as is for now.
For now.
I have absolutely no plans.
Yeah.
But
there's no hidden thought here about killing comics, changing comics, diminishing comics.
No.
Please don't plant that thought.
But I do want to go back to the unsigned editorial. I mean, yeah, there's a great history of that in newspapers, of course. And when we started Dispatch, our feeling was that online there's a wide range of opinion. In fact, and I think you actually wrote for us a couple times in the first days of the Dispatch. It was about getting voices from all around the state and sharing those rather than my voice or Amanda Coyne's voice or whoever was involved, you know, sort of the founders of Dispatch. And that carried on through after Alice bought Dispatch as well. And we're just applying that to the newspaper now. I think that the editorial page was something that several people in the newspaper ran, and they came up with the unsigned editorial for the paper, but that didn't necessarily represent everybody at the newspaper.
No, I know for a fact that editorial writers would have to write sometimes things they didn't agree with.
Right, and you'd spend a lot of time going back and forth between the editorial page editors, the publisher, the executive editor. You know, in the end of the day, I'd rather use that space. I think Alice would rather use that space as well for Alaskans and their opinions and perspectives.
Mm. Well, do you worry? I mean, in broadcasting, we used to have what they call the fairness doctrine, which basically people think meant equal time or something like that. But all it really said was a variety of views.
That's our doctrine.
Yeah.
Although with an added, I don't want to call it a litmus test, but an added screen, which is that we want to hear things that haven't been said repeatedly before and elsewhere. So that, for example, there are many ways that you can say, I support this or that initiative or candidate, but we want to hear some new thinking about it when we publish the next piece.
Hmm. Does that mean no more Paul Jenkins?
That one's beyond my pay grade.
But no, I mean, I think that's right. We definitely are working harder to move the debate along on a particular issue so that we don't have sort of canned opinions in the paper.
Well, that probably makes sense. But then that means you got to keep finding thoughtful people.
That's a kind of a challenge we throw out to everybody out there who
argued that the old paper was biased. You've got Bush Alaska listening to you right now. You have people all over the state, and with our connectivity, a potential. So there's no reason that anybody, I mean, you know, in White Mountain or, you know, Hughes,
there are full
Alec Hackett,
lots of brilliant people out there, and we want to hear their words.
All right. Well, how would that work if a person wanted to actually said, I think I could write an opinion piece.
Send your opinion, your comment, your letter to commentary@alaskadispatch.com. Or email me, tony@alaskadispatch.com.
There you are, folks. If you said it personally, our telephone number here at Talk of Alaska is 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. In Anchorage, you call locally at 550-8422. Email is talk@alaskapublic.org. And I'm not meaning to monopolize the conversation. In fact, this is really your opportunity. I know everybody has got something to say about the Alaska Dispatch and now the Alaska Dispatch News. And here's your chance to talk to the real decision makers with your questions, your concerns, and so forth. They have graciously, you know, they changed the masthead of the paper and then they went and stuck their necks out and came on the radio statewide and they're ready to talk with you. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK. So it's Alice Rogoff and Tony Hoffinger. And I'm glad to have a conversation about where media is going because none of us know. So we're just like we're speculating about how many angels could potentially dance on the point of a pin because we don't really know. But I will say this: when it's always been fascinating talking with you, Tony, as progress has taken place in this publication. And I remember at one point you said, you know, it's just can be really disappointing when you get somebody just pours their heart and weeks of effort into a story that finally shows up, and what generates the hit but somebody's pet turtle instead. And the numbers are merciless on this, as you know. You know how many hits you're getting on what. Now it's getting even worse because people tweet and they Facebook and they Pinterest and whatever else they do. And so stuff goes viral, you know. And
we have metrics that we can look at.
Yeah.
By the minute.
Well, what I'm trying to get out of you, though, is what are they teaching you? What are they showing you? What do you have you found where you take that great piece that Jill wrote and make sure that, you know, it has some wings?
I mean, we certainly use social media to do that. We'll reach out sometimes to blogs on specific interests or that might fit that piece. But at the same time, the audience that for a particular article, it may not be as large, but if you're hitting the right people, that I've kind of come to terms that that's also, that may be as best as you can hope for. Not everyone's going to want to read an in-depth piece on oil taxes, but if you're hitting the right people, you know, that's the best you can hope for, maybe. And at other times, you have to just keep working on trying to find a way to tell it differently to reach the, you know, a larger audience. But,
you get your great full-dress piece, you know, deep piece. And I mean, traditionally, a way we would do it is to try and series it out a little bit.
Sometimes we'll do that, yeah.
Not let go, you know, grab onto the story like a bulldog and not let go of it. In other words, okay, this reporter has broken this new ground, and we don't retreat from that. We keep going forward from that and developing that story. Sometimes you can do it that way.
Sure. I mean, I think with the oil tax debate, both news organizations have done that over the years, and that's not necessarily some of the more high-read articles that we have, to be honest.
Mm.
But one of the ways I've found over time was to continue doing the things that people like to read, or video galleries and things, and then also have links to articles around that for like the oil tax and that.
Wow. So this is a whole other skill set.
You bring them in with you.
Are you doing this? Who would do that in the office?
We all kind of learn, really? Among us editors kind of learn different tricks of the trade, I guess, to doing that. But, you know, it's not any different. I mean, the newspaper, right? People come for one piece of it and you hope that they'll read another part of it. They might just come for the comics, but maybe they'll read some article on politics or whatever.
We don't have vernacular to name these new functions. You know what I mean?
It changes like, all the time.
Well,
too.
There used to be like, I could tell you, you know, because I grew up in retail, you know, and there's certainly, we have code. And there's code in a boiler room, you know, and there's code in a warehouse. You know, there are names for all these different things people do, but there's this function that you're talking about how do you pick up the where's the gift for the meme that takes wings.
Some of it's not any different than what we've always done. Headline writing is a big part of it for online, but it takes on a different meaning online as far as keywords and things like that. It's more
and it's
more art than science in terms of.
Really?
Getting a story out there online for people to read.
Well, that's how it appears to be anyway.
And there's a lot of competition.
But I think it's a little bit of onward through the fog. It's just that we can't see through the fog of war right now what will be very plain in retrospect, very clear. We say, well, how could we not have seen it?
Well, before we went on air, we were talking about Google and Facebook, right?
Yeah.
They control a lot of this.
Yeah.
And you have to sort of learn their game in order to get stories out there, unfortunately. Yeah.
So where's your advertising money coming from? Is it coming from newspaper, online? Can you give me any kind of percentage? And is the business model, you obviously have to have a business plan. You have some idea where you're going. How's it doing?
Well, the advertisers, at least in Alaska more than other places, I think are still outsized attached to print. And there's evidence that that's true in most places, but I think that because the print landscape was changing here so rapidly, it might have been a little bit more entrenched for lack of a better idea about what to do. And really, in the end, that's both the advertisers and the readers' attachment to print is why Tony and I are sitting here today, because we started an online-only business and realized the best way to grow was to have print as a medium for our online-only content that needed a place to go to be seen and read by more people. So yeah. that's not a question.
Right. You take, like, for instance, let's say, like, Cal Worthington or, you know, some car dealer, anyone, and they want all that hard sell, you know, and they want those prices and they want to come on down, you know, it sort of suits them. And I know, you know, in my many, many years in commercial radio that our sales forces were always up against that. Because it says, look, here, I got a tangible piece of paper. What do I get from you guys? You know, some DJ blabbing, not paying attention to what he's saying. But, and they would come back and they say, radio gets results. And they would say, okay, just put some deal out and tell them so-and-so sent you and see what happens.
I think the one difference with online advertising is that you can track the results. I mean, you actually know how many people clicked on that ad. How many page views you paid for, where the readers came from, et cetera. So that's the one difference compared to all the other mediums, is that you can actually track this stuff down to the person.
So to what degree do you think there was a brand loyalty in the daily news advertisers that you're up against trying to, you know, having to do a sell job on?
Well, to the extent they stayed with the paper, that's to our benefit. And mm-hmm. A surprisingly large number had.
Yeah, the same paper with a different name now, though.
I don't think the name change is material to most of those folks. I think there's a sentimentality to it, and obviously there's tradition to it. But to the people who view the newspaper as a way of trading information of any sort, it's just the same notion of paper with words on it. At least I hope I'm saying that correctly, and time will tell. But I do also think that a lot of what we have found since we took over the wonderful Anchorage Daily News business is that the business had been managed by a chain from outside the state that really was not in tune with what was happening on the ground here. And so I think to some extent for us, we're able to just get back to the business of being in an Alaskan community together, and that means things will get better because we are all here.
I keep thinking of the massive turnover I would see in the various failing radio stations that I worked at in the sales force, because it was always their fault. They couldn't sell it. And that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But the right person is very, very important in a position like that, because it's community relations, and yet it's also the sales skill. And those are...
Well, the sales skill is not to be underestimated. We all know that that's not an easy thing to do. But if you have skilled salespeople, you still need management that gives them what they need to sell.
You're so diplomatic.
And they didn't have what they needed to sell under the prior ownership.
That's not so diplomatic. Talk of Alaska, it's Alice Rogoff, Tony Hopfinger, and we'll start with the calls now. Anchorage, Marilyn, welcome to Talk of Alaska. Marilyn.
Yes, good morning. I just had two comments, I guess, and I appreciate the paper so much. I'm sitting here doing the jumbles right now. But I'm... The one thing I've missed in the last maybe 3 days, whatever, I'm quite a sports fan, and so every day I look to see what's going to be on the radio, carried on the radio, whether it's a Mariners game or a high school football game or whatever. And excuse me, that part it seems to be missing, above the on-television where it used to be.
Oh, yeah, it was never very reliable, you may remember.
Well, yes, I did call in a couple times and ask if they were going to put it back in, and the fellow said, oh, I hadn't realized it wasn't in there or something.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, that I appreciate if that could fit in there.
Tony?
And then the other thing...
Okay, let's have Tony respond here.
Oh, okay.
Stay on there, Marilyn.
I'll get
all
on right. It right away when I get back.
Thank you, Tony. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Oh, all right. And then the other thing is, and this is probably pretty picky, but in the obituary section, the... diminution of the size of the picture.
Yes.
In there. The Steve Lindbeck's mother this morning, for example, I thought, my gosh, it's smaller than a postage stamp. And I guess it's better than nothing. But
we do apologize for that. We have a new system that we've had to put in place. We couldn't continue on the previous owner's system. And so we're still working out the kinks on that. And it will improve.
Oh, good. Okay. But anyway, that's just those two suggestions. And I certainly appreciate the paper. And so glad that you've taken over there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Marilyn from Anchorage. And let's go to Sandpoint and Austin. Alice, I'll bet you know where Sandpoint is, too.
Of course.
And go ahead, Austin.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to say, first of all, congratulations on your guys' acquiring the ADN. That's so exciting. And being from Sandpoint, you know Sandpoint. My curiosity is, how do you guys expect this to affect the way you guys cover rural news? And what do you have in the pipes to better cover rural communities? Because, you know, a lot of us are concerned about that. When we read the media, it's a lot of times very urban-based, and it's, you know, you kind of feel outside the loop sometimes.
I think they're prepared for that question.
How you can do that?
I think they're very prepared for that question.
This is Tony. A lot of the thought behind this merger was, I think, to solve that question, or try to solve that question at least. And Alaska Dispatch and the Anchorage Daily News have always had an intention to cover rural news. Both of our organizations could have done better over the years, I think. And now we're working on a way to deploy reporters across Alaska. Our first place that we're looking at doing this is at Bethel, but we would like to have reporters in other towns as well across Alaska, so we have a presence and not just doing this over the phone from Anchorage.
One of the things I would just throw out there is that there aren't a whole lot of people scattered around outside of the Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau markets who really are in the news habit of providing news as opposed to consuming news. And because those of you who hear me at this moment, please take this as a kind of an open call from us. We are looking for people on the ground everywhere outside of where we are who would like to provide news stories and commentary to us, and it could be on a regular and paid basis. We need to have a bundle of sources and reporters and bureaus and stringers and whatever names you want to attach to it all around the state. So bear that in mind, and if you have any ideas or are interested yourself, please get in touch with Tony.
Well, you're lighting up our switchboard, and now you're going to be lighting up the switchboard down at your shop.
That's good.
Yeah, 1-800-478-8255 is the phone number, and I guess we'll try and get another call in here. This is Diane from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with Alice Rogoff and Tony Hopfinger.
I'm so glad you brought back We Alaskans. And if you just can bring back the ear, I'll die happy.
Find us another Sheila.
Right. And I do have one question. The Times had an incredible archival library. When the Daily News took over, it was available to the public, and then gradually as funding decreased, it was narrowed down to 1 hour a day where the public could use it. And I understand the indexing system was incredibly convoluted. No one could ever figure it out. But I hope the archives are still there, and I'm wondering if there's any plans to do something with it.
The archives are still there. I don't think they've been available to the public for some time. They used to have two librarians at the Anchorage Daily News way back when. There had been talk, and I think we're interested in doing this, in digitizing those old newspaper clippings from the Anchorage Times. So that's something that I think was on our plate that we're going to begin looking at.
Well, that's encouraging. Don't know when that might be completed, but please keep that information out there.
Oh, we absolutely will. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, Diane, thank you very much for your call. And I think in truth, all media organizations are wrestling with the question of their pasts and their archives and the proper form for them to be in. All the formats keep changing. I know that us in the electronic medium. There actually is an archival digital storage means, as you probably know, but because hardly anybody's using it, it's vastly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
At least it would be archival. Let's try one more call before the break. Sean joins the program in Fairbanks. Welcome to Talk of Alaska with the proprietors of the newly named Alaska Dispatch News.
Hey, yeah, Alice Rogoff and Tony. Hey, I wanted to thank you guys for especially, you know, the Alaska Dispatch, the depth of the coverage is really pretty amazing. In an era where there seems to be less and less money to actually do in-depth stuff, you guys are actually, you know, you're covering stuff, you know, amazingly well and in depth. This Proposition 1, you know, the magnitude of this thing, I don't think people really grasp yet. And you guys are covering this in a way nobody else is. You've had stuff on there that was, you know, more in-depth by far than anything else. And so I just think that's the kind of thing that really is sort of sets you guys apart, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
Well, that's really nice of you, and I mean this so sincerely. Any kind words of feedback or any unkind words of feedback, as long as they're constructive, it's so valuable to us. So please, everybody, keep on giving us feedback. We need it every day.
All right. Well, you guys stay strong.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to just throw in about Fairbanks that, I mean, there aren't too many Dermot Coles out there.
No.
I mean, there's a valuable resource.
But if there are any of you out there who aspire to be the next Dermot Cole, please keep working at it.
All right. We're talking with Alice Rogoff and Tony Hopfinger as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from Northern Air Cargo, providing year-round transportation of all types of freight from vehicles and oversized equipment to small packages for corporations or small business. Northern Air Cargo, serving Alaska since 1956. And by ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
The Anchorage Daily News became the Alaska Dispatch News 3 days ago, 2.5 days ago, really. And the people who did that are with us on Talk of Alaska. And boy, have we ever got the calls. And I want to throw in a couple of emails here. This one from Tim, who says, hey, what about the payroll? Paywall. The Daily News had a paywall. It was sort of off again, on again.
It's off.
It's off, just plain off.
Yep.
And just not in the business model.
Not for any time that we have in mind today. Now, there could come a time down the road when that could change. One of the things we do
well, now,
think...
You know, like as a daily, the Wall Street Journal has an interesting way of their paywall. Why do I keep saying payroll? I think it's Freudian now that I think about it. The paywall is set up on the archives.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I was going to say, is there are notions out there that you can charge for specialized content. Archives is one possibility. Reference material of all kinds is another possibility. So I'm not going to say we'll never charge for content, but the paywall for the everyday news is free. That's gone.
Yeah, now we're getting some real nuts and bolts questions. This show is great on nuts and bolts, and I got one. Over there by Electron Drive is a building with daily news signs on it. It's the print shop or the distribution shop or something over there. What's going to become of that, do you know? It's over by Chugach Electric. It's the warehouse building over
there.
That
might be one of our delivery points, but yeah. Nothing's changing there.
Must be a paper warehouse. Yeah. I don't know what else it could be.
Nothing changing in the distribution front? Because that's our next question out of Unalaska.
If anything, we're trying to expand that a bit.
All right. Well, let's go to Jim, joins the program from Unalaska. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Jim.
Hi, Steve. It's Jim Pollan. Hey, a few years ago, we used to get the Anchorage Daily News delivered here, and for a long time we did. Then about 3 years ago, it stopped. They couldn't afford to send it. So we're really in the dark now because the internet out here is absolutely horrible. We don't have sub-seat cable. I'm wondering if the new owners can restore the delivery of the hard copy of the Anchorage Daily News 7 days a week. I mean, it doesn't always get here the same day because of the issues with aviation. But it'd be great if we could get real newspapers here every day.
You're singing our song. We were just working on the last steps of making that happen yesterday when we left the office. Our hope is that we can get on every commercial flight out of Anchorage to everywhere in the state that is willing to take our papers so that we can have papers in the hands of people everywhere who still want a paper.
Oh, great. So like in about a week or so, maybe we'll be seeing...
It could be that soon. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank
you. And meanwhile, if not, you can always keep waiting for that cable because I'm sure it's going to show up somewhere.
No, seriously.
I'm not kidding.
Sooner or later, we'll get an underwater connection.
Yeah.
But
yeah. No, this is...
this abysmal service with internet. Yeah.
This is one of our biggest intentions, and I hope it'll happen within a week. If not, give us 2 weeks.
Fantastic. Let's go to Bob, joins the program from Anchorage. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bob.
Good morning. Welcome to your guests again. It's great to hear from you. And during the launch week, it's exciting times. I really appreciate the broader, more in-depth coverage that you've already had. Rural Alaska, local stories in Anchorage. I think it's excellent. The choice to not have an editorial page, Alice, I think you said that was carefully considered. But what I hear is rationale for it is a little bit thin, frankly. The variety of views from the community, absolutely good thing, but it's not inconsistent with having your own editorial views. The anonymity of columnists can be solved by just making people sign their views.
Well, that's the point, actually. It's just that we won't have anything unsigned.
Yeah, we didn't finish that thought. It's quite possible that, you know, whether it be myself or Alice, we'll have our names on if we have an opinion. It's just that we don't want to represent that this is the whole entire news organization necessarily.
Well, I think that's good truth in advertising, good truth in labeling. That would be a good thing. But I hope, you know, people, your readers do look for you for your opinions, and your readers are smart enough and mature enough to factor that in with many other things like the content of the news articles and the opinion columns from others outside the paper. It'd just be really nice not to get unbalanced with respect to your own views of the importance of stories that are out there.
That's an excellent point. We think about it and talk about it a lot. And in fact, you saw that first letter from me. There will be others. It's just simply that I don't think I ever want to tell anybody how I think they should vote. I may get very close to the subject at hand on which the vote will happen and talk about the issues that I think they raise and what they mean. And I think Tony might even do the same on certain subjects from time to time. But ultimately, people have to walk into that voting booth and know that they're supposed to form their own decisions.
Absolutely. And you're entitled to confidentiality about your vote, if you wish.
And everybody should feel that way. We're just trying to make the votes more informed.
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right, Bob. Yeah, thanks for your call. Alice Rogoff with us, the Anchorage or the Alaska Dispatch News. I'm still...
ADN.
ADN. All right. And does it still, if I go and look for ADN.com, it's still there?
Yes.
Yes, along with Alaska Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal. One thing that bothered me when you guys took over the paper is getting a paper at home and reading it and then coming in to the office, clicking up the dispatch, and not finding anything new. Drove me a little crazy, you know?
That's the challenge, I think, and we're trying to...
You can go deeper into dispatch and it start getting stuff.
Yeah.
So it is. It was a navigation issue.
Just a transition problem.
It was difficult running the two websites at once and two different brands at once, and so that's why we were working hard to the last 10 weeks just to get off that.
Oh, I can't even imagine the nightmare. I hope somebody's keeping notes, and of course nobody ever does. 1-800-478-8255, 478-TALK, a local call in Anchorage at 550-8422. Email talk at alaskapublic.org, and I got a thunderous squad of emails. There was one about a columnist caught using somebody else's opinion as if it was his own, and whether you would permit that sort of thing. That's about as far as I'll take that one.
Okay, I'm not exactly...
That's from Tom. He's in favor of you people, putting your own editorials, that are signed.
The columnist is plagiarizing, of course, we wouldn't keep that person on.
Oh, okay, that's pretty simple. Let's go to Fairbanks then, and Martin joins the program. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Martin.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I've got in front of me on my screen, I read an article on the mudflats.net a few weeks ago that I've saved. It's an interview with the former editor, Pat Doherty, of the Anchorage Daily News that he had on APRN with Lori Townsend, which I never heard, but I'm glad there's a printed version. And I guess he was at that paper for quite a number of years, and I learned that Tony had worked there too. I didn't know that before. Apparently, there was no love lost when the sale took place. I was just wondering if you've read this interview and if you had any comments to make on it. He agrees with you on some things, like not endorsing political candidates and a few other things, but in general, he says basically that this isn't the sale that he would, the new ownership he would have chosen for the ADN, and says some other things that leads one to believe there's no love lost. Have you read this, and do you have any comments?
I've read it, and I have no comment.
Okay, well, just... I like to see both sides. So
I would say this, that it appeared for me when I read it that many of the things that we've done just in the last 10 weeks were things that Pat Doherty talked about wanting to do for the last 18 years when he was editor.
And I would just add that I don't want to say anything I would regret saying, but change is not easy. And anybody who's been the leader of an organization for as many years as Pat was is never going to feel good about what comes after him, especially if he wasn't a part of a transition to it. So this is human nature, and we just try to carry on as best we can.
Okay, well, thank you. And I would encourage your listeners to, to get a rounded perspective on this, to go to the Mudflats and punch in ADN editor on search and take a look at this. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was
whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah, it was in the Anchorage Press and everything. I think this would be a good time to bring this up, actually. The issue of competition. I don't think there would be an Anchorage Press without an Anchorage Daily News, for instance. And there will be competition. The television stations have beefed up. It's competition. We had a newspaper chain that has been up and down. It's currently kind of down. it couldn't afford to keep reporters out in the field. You guys are going to try and start fielding reporters again. There is competition here. Now, you can say we're making the pie bigger, and that's great up to a certain point. But I just get some thoughts on competition from both of you, maybe Tony first.
Yeah, I definitely think that competition helps in the news business. And when we started Alaska Dispatch, right, we were sort of the underdog, and it was in response to not just the Anchorage Daily News, but media across Alaska, sort of a downturn that I was perceiving in terms of the reporting and the stories that were out there. I still believe that even with Dispatch and the ADN combined, that there's the Newsmine, there's APRN, there's Juneau Empire, there's the Associated Press, there's a lot of competitors, and and obviously on the reporter level, that's what drives a lot of us in terms of being the first to get a story or to do a story better. And I think that hopefully my staff realizes that I'm looking at everybody as a competitor and hoping we can do our best work and rise to the occasion.
Well, I would just add that this is all about the theory of a rising tide lifting all boats. And by that, I mean, I come from a world on the East Coast in my prior life where there was so much journalism you couldn't not walk on it as you walk down the street, so to speak. And every thought in your head, if you were working in government or in a high security job, was one you were afraid somebody would drag out of your brain without you knowing it. So Alaska still to this day strikes me as one great undercovered series of stories. And there is no limit to how much all of us can and should do to write more and analyze more and talk more and to do it in a very civil and constructive way. And that's really the mission. So one could make an argument that combining two news organizations reduced competition, but if the effect of the combination is to have more resources to do more reporting, writing, and analyzing, then that is good for everybody, and that's the way we choose to look at it.
Well, I mean, personally, I'm very concerned that you won't be able to support the size of staff. You know, that there were some really, really good staffers at Daily News and really, really good. The Dispatch was tremendous at bringing out talent that I didn't know existed and letting people who really were kind of a little more confined than I thought in their old jobs really expand their perspective. Incredible. I don't want to name names. It would be cruel. But the fact of the matter is, I think anybody that actually knows these reporters and their work and everything has watched so many journalists really bloom at the Dispatch. And also, has always been an excellent staff of journalists, a core of very excellent journalists, even in the worst days at the Daily News. And I worry that there's not enough infrastructure now to support.
There is. And that's the pleasant surprise to those of us who've been watching this, is there is enough there to support it and to grow.
It's Talk of Alaska. We're talking to Alice Rogoff and Tony Hoffinger as Talk of Alaska continues.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from First National Bank Alaska, helping Alaska's business dreams grow for more than 90 years. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Celebrate summer with Alaska Public Media and world-renowned barbecue chef and author Stephen Reichland of PBS and the Create Channel shows Barbecue University and Primal Grill on July 25th through the 27th. The benefit for Alaska Public Media include a barbecue salmon cook-off, barbecue class, and a pig roast over lunch. Tickets available at alaskapublic.org. It's sponsored by Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Hotel Captain Cook, and Crush Wine Bar and Bistro.
It's Talk of Alaska. We're talking about the Alaska Dispatch News, and from Tim in Galena is this question. Were you plotting this all along? Is that why the initials were always fairly close?
I wish I'd been that smart. No.
Just wondering. Well, I'll throw this uncouth question in, too. Is this your own money or your husband's money?
Oh, well, any of you who've been in a marriage, I challenge you to tell me the answer to that question.
We'll go to Fairbanks now. And David, welcome to Talk of Alaska. David.
Hello. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine. We keep you on hold forever. That's part of the trademark.
Yeah. I just had a question. I came to know Ms. Rogoff's work with Alaska Native Arts through a mutual, very dear friend of ours, Jean Flanagan Carlo. Mm. And my wife is an Alaska Native artist who struggles to get her work done and be able to do things, but it's very expensive to be an Alaska Native artist. And the thing that strikes me about Alaska, and I come from New York as well, is that so many people do things with their hands and make stuff, and yet we really don't cover that end of things. We don't cover the arts very well in media, just like we don't cover a lot of things.
Hey, David, you do realize that they did revive We Alaskans, which did take a lot of that stuff, right?
Okay, well, is that what that was then? I didn't realize that's what We Alaskans was.
Oh yeah, it always did. That was one of its areas of specialty for sure. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, but go ahead, stay in line here because I want to get an answer. Alice wants to answer you.
I'm going to answer you by doing what I do to Tony in private, saying I agree with you, and I hope we do more of it. Tony.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I agree. I mean, we're right now looking at all areas of coverage, and I know that arts and culture is one area that we could be doing a better job at.
Hmm. Very interesting. Let's go to John, joins the program from Bethel. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, John, with Alice and Tony.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I want to congratulate these folks on the quality of the programming that they had on the Dispatch. It was just a wonderful newspaper. And I read the Dispatch online to get news, and I bought the ADN to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. And that's the difference. I hope you bring that to the ADN.
Well, thank you. That's why Tony's the man, and we will ask you to keep in touch and tell us if you think we're doing it.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Out of Tony. Tony, you're going to...
I agree. No, I appreciate that. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think the Dispatch had a sort of startup culture to it in the sense of we were very experimental and very creative in what we were doing over the last 5 years. And I hope that we can bring that to the ADN and that the writers there will... pick up some of that spirit. We want to be able to try things, do things maybe a little bit different in the way we write stories, the way we report, be more creative in how we approach stories. And I think some of that came through on the Dispatch, and I'm glad people noticed that.
Let's go once again to Bethel and Bob. Welcome to Talk of Alaska, Bob, with Alice and Tony.
Yes, thank you. I have something that might seem a little trivial, and thank you for the Dispatch. I read a lot and a lot of great information. But you and other papers, like the Fairbanks Miner, default on reader responses to articles to Facebook. And I think one of the most interesting things about articles is seeing how people respond to them, their points of view, and how the tide is running, particularly when there is some sort of editorial position taken by the article. And I just wonder why you go to Facebook. I frankly want nothing to do with Facebook, and so I wouldn't comment. But I also don't see the reader responses, and I think that really takes away from the newspaper.
I get this question almost every day about Facebook and using their platform for commenting. I think both us and the Anchorage Daily News decided upon that because there's fewer anonymous people on Facebook. You can set up an anonymous account on Facebook, of course, and comment on stories, but that's the main reason we went to it. I didn't want to have anonymous comments on stories, and it seems like we have more people using their real names with Facebook.
And so to maintain your own thread... would require a curation or moderating?
We do moderate
editorial burden.
I mean, in terms of if we had our own commenting system.
Yeah.
Well, you'd have to find a way to verify that the person, you know, on the other end of email that's registering with the account is actually who they are.
You don't know who they are, maybe you. Yeah. I mean, you just okay. You don't get on.
Well. One thing I'd always liked about newspapers...
I mean, we do that here. We have a phone screening system. Mm-hmm. Every person, we have their name and their phone number and their location. Mm-hmm. We know who they are.
Yeah.
Sure, with dozens and dozens of articles, I wouldn't have the staffing to do that.
There's got
to
be an electronic way of doing it.
I suspect that something else will turn up because I know a lot of people feel the way this gentleman does.
Okay, here's one from Neil. Says, hey, what about Sudoku... online. I really miss it.
I believe that is at ADN/games. ADN.com/games. We still have the games online. And okay. You can find it under the culture menu on the red bar menu, too.
And also, Neil is a Craig Medred fan and doesn't quite understand how the Medred thing happened. Did he leave the ADN because of the previous owners or what? Well, there was a buyout situation at the Daily News. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of both, I'm guessing.
Let's go to Fairbanks, and Brian joins the program. Brian, welcome to Talk of Alaska with Alice and Tony.
Hey, Steve. Hey, Tony. Just Alice, nice to talk to you. First of all, I wanted to just say that as a former News Miner op-ed editor, I think the decision not to have an editorial that represents the media organization is you know, that I think long term is not a good thing, and I sort of understand where you're coming from, but I think that sort of voice that maybe emerges from a consensus of some sort of board, you know, maybe with representatives statewide, is really important, and it helps you know, readers sort through the clutter of opinion that floods the internet now.
Well, I really. About 49% of me agrees with you, and that's, I say it that way because I don't think this is ever going to be an open and shut case in my mind, and I have a feeling that we, Tony and I and the op-ed editors, will be revisiting this forever. And yeah. For the moment, our solution is just to do it with our own names when we think it's appropriate. But not to try and speak for a collective group or a part of a group where the rest of the group may not agree. So all I can say is we're going to grow with this thought and see where it takes us. And, you know, never say never, as one of our folks reminded me. We're going to try this. And if we feel comfortable about it forever, we'll do it this way forever. And you watch and see, there will be signed pieces by me, by Tony, by others as we go down the road.
I see that, and I appreciate individual signed pieces. And maybe the editorial should always be signed itself, but there's still something to it representing the voice of the organization, taking into account reporting, taking into account, you know, discussions with staff internally, and then going under that particular, this is what the Dispatch thinks.
So maybe they'll come up with a process.
Maybe. Only because I think there's an inherent conflict in taking the voices and the thoughts of people who report the news, who are supposed to just report the news, and trying to give them an editorial opinion that they may not have.
We are out of time. Thank you so much, Alice Rogoff, Tony Hoffinger, for being with us. Next week is Joe Miller, Dave Waldron, Laurie Townsend, Sean Carpenter, and the crew today. I'm Steve Heimel. Thanks for listening.
Talk of Alaska is made possible by this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network. If you've served in the military, the Alaska VA welcomes you home and thanks you for your service. We encourage you to enroll for VA health care benefits. Go to 1010ez.med.va.gov to apply online in less than 5 minutes, or print, fax, or mail the 2-page form to the VA. You do not need your DD-214 to apply. Call 257-3323 for questions. This message is sponsored by the VA. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.